Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
New York sports is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. WFAN is the only place where Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Jets fans come together and sound off. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this football Friday morning. 888-808-1019. You can also catch us live on YouTube. Stream us live. Join the chat. Enjoy. Talk amongst yourselves. Comment on anything you'd like. I just looked on the camera now. I've been busy trying to, do the show. I just saw now my hair is a mess. I kind of did my hair earlier in the day, took a nap, hair's a mess. You know what? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes the hair's going to be a bit messy. You'll live, I'll live. The videos will look bad. I'll ignore them. It's what it is. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls a little bit, talking a little bit of football. And again, we'll do it in a little bit. I want to create a comparison, as I did in the open a little bit, about the AFC and specifically the Patriots and whether or not the Giants can be the next year. Can they be the Patriots of this year? And specifically about Jackson Dart. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
D-Mac, my boy, one of my favorites.
What's going on, brother?
Well, I think you know that, because, I've been fighting this whole Dable battle as respectfully as possible with you for the last couple years and then the last several weeks leading up to his firing. And I haven't called because I was very, obviously very pleased with what occurred. Yeah. And so here's the thing, C-Mac. With all due respect, the gentleman who called earlier, and, he might have said it in a way that wasn't flattering, but it's, it is kind of true. You're going all out to defend Dable. I wish you would do that more for a head coach that's worth more of your time and energy and actually has a resume like Tim's. I know that's already, it's not necessarily.
Listen, if you want to, I defended and argued about Tibbs firing for months. I continue to do it. I've been defending Tibbs forever.
But it's not necessarily over. It's not necessarily because we see the flaws with this. I was tough on him.
The next year has started already. They've got a new head coach.
I know. But C-Mac. Let me just go here. Every single little thing that Tibbs was criticized and fired for, essentially, this guy has been more egregious. He gets Jalen Brunson hurt with 2 minutes left in a 16-point lead. He had Kat and Ananobi in the game, like 3 games prior. We were up 32 in the fourth quarter. He took 3 starters out the game and left the 2 most vulnerable ones in there. I almost fell out of my chair, and thank God nothing happened that day. But we see Ananobi is now compromised because he's always off injured anyway. Why the hell would you have him in a 32-point game? Look it up. We were 32. I forget the opponent. That Cat and he were both in the game. And then everybody said, oh, but Tim sucks at the end of the game, devising plays, getting the ball inbounds. Excuse me, but I just saw the Knicks struggle to get the ball inbounds twice to Jalen Brunson. The first time, they couldn't get it in. They were about to get a five-second violation. They had to call a timeout this previous game that we just about. Then the second time, he does call a timeout, does nothing to get him the ball because Jalen Brunson literally is stepping on the sideline when he gets his damn ball. So
I get you. We're getting a little off topic. I would say.
Yeah, but let me go back to Dable.
Go ahead.
All right. So with Dable, right, the Josh Allen thing, I keep telling you, it coincides with the with the arrival of Stephon Diggs. It does. This is factual. And then when
Coincides with the teaching of Brian Dable.
Yeah, but no. Listen, he had Josh Allen for a year or two, where Josh Allen was bad, and then Stephon Diggs arrives on the scene, and he becomes a superstar that minute, that season. So that's more Stephon. And I'm going to tell you this furthermore, C Mac. You were just complaining. What do you expect Dable and Dart to do when they don't have any wide receivers? A quarterback can't do anything without a wide receiver.
I know.
The head coach, you were saying that.
I never said
you
that.
You were saying that.
No, I talked about he doesn't have enough weapons, but I never said, look what he's doing. He's winning football games and having a great start to his career. He's doing it despite no weapons. I never said what him to do. I was pleased with the offense, weren't you?
No.
With Jackson Dart, you weren't pleased with the offense? I was pleased with the offense.
No, it was okay. But see,
it was pretty damn good for a rookie quarterback. It was pretty damn good for a rookie quarterback with no weapons.
I love Jackson Dart. I just don't like Dable. And Dable had a worse record than Rich Kotite, and every other
Rich Kotite, how many years did Rich Kotite coach? Of course he lost more games. I don't know if he had a winning percentage as bad as Rich Kotite. And he won a road playoff game. You want to count how many coaches in Giants history have road playoff wins? You want to count? And again, I'm not trying to defend him as far as the head coach anymore. I'm talking about him working with quarterbacks. And I heard a caller asked today in the afternoon show if they think it would be a good idea to hire Brian Dable for the Jets, and I think it would be a great idea. I think any team looking to evaluate and develop a young quarterback, Brian Dable would be a tremendous addition to that organization. I don't think there's any doubt. And I hope he gets another opportunity to be a head coach because I think he can be. Same thing with Robert Saleh, who probably is going to be a head coach again. And I said the same thing about Robert Saleh. I was defending Robert Saleh as a head coach with the quarterback play he had. And we saw what happened when he got fired. And we'll see what happens to the Giants after Brian Dable get fired. Again, I thought they were trending in the right direction. They were. Then it all fell apart after the Broncos game. Something broke. Something the team couldn't recover from was that loss. And it fell apart. And I understand why he was fired. But again, I was just at Thursday Night Football led to a Josh Allen conversation. Someone called, which led to a J.J. McCarthy conversation, which led to the draft conversation. And yeah, I think Brian Dable got a little bit of a raw deal. I do. And I think he can be a good head coach. He wasn't for the Giants the last 3 years. I was on board with him being fired, but I think it's my same thing for Brian Cashman. I was arguing with someone today on Twitter about Brian Cashman. You can think whatever you want about Brian Cashman. Maybe we'll get to him today and his comments about the team, although he didn't really break any news necessarily. You can say whatever you want about Brian Cashman, and you don't like him, and he's done a terrible job, and no championship since forever, but you can't take away what he's done. You can't tell me it's all bad. You can't tell me anyone can do what he does, and you can't tell me he doesn't get credit for the 4 championships. Like, that's where I'll push back. It's nonsense. He was the general manager for the 98 Yankees. I know he didn't bring Jeter here. I know he didn't bring Mariano Rivera here. He didn't bring the core here. I know that. But he brought in a lot of Chuck Knoblauch, helped them win championships. El Duque helped them win championships. Roger Clemens helped them win championships. David Justice helped. They don't win the 2000 World Series without David Justice. It's unfair to just say he had nothing to do with those championships because Derek Jeter was on the team before he became GM. It's nonsense. And the same thing with Brian Daboll. He lost too many games. Lost too many games. Cultivated an atmosphere of losing eventually. No doubt. Can't argue it. But he won a road playoff game. He turned Daniel Jones from a turnover machine into the least turnover quarterback in the NFL. Won a road playoff game with him. Turned around and wanted Jackson Dart. Pounded the table for Jackson Dart. Got Jackson Dart. And immediately Jackson Dart becomes the franchise savior. He gets credit for those things. He gets credit for those things. And I hope it turns out and works out in the scenario where at the end of this, in 3 or 4 years, when Jackson Dart's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and the Giants are winning championships or, you know, competing for championships and being a legitimate championship contender, I hope we could all look back and go, you know what, Brian Daboll at least got us Jackson Dart, because I think he has a lot to do with it. Kevin in Hartford. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning, Chris. Long time no speak.
What's going on?
You know, just out here ripping goods and services up the New Jersey Turnpike, but let's just take a gander at this for a moment. Imagine it's the last week of August, first week of September, and we're going into the NFL season, and we're sitting and we're an Eagles fan, or we're a Patriots fan, or we're any one of these other fans where we have hopes and dreams every year of making the playoffs. Us in this town, we're Giants fans, Jets fans. You and I are Giants fans. All we play for is draft picks. And it's getting old.
Yeah.
It's getting very old. You know, I would like to not be trick-or-treating with my kids. Well, my kids are big now, so we don't really trick-or-treat anymore. Right. But I like to get the Halloween. And this year, the way it was going when we whipped Dable and Dart, it was looking all right until the Denver game, like you said.
Yep.
Now we got to go through the whole process again. And I want a coach with experience, but what I'm afraid of is if you bring in one of these retreads, a Belichick even, a Gruden, maybe the game now, the way it is, might have passed these guys by. And we've already proven that the hot coordinator doesn't really work either. So where the hell do we go, Chris? Thank you. I'm going
to
listen.
You got it. They go to the right guy. I don't know. There is no... There is a proven head coach who has had sustained winning in the NFL at times, who, you know, has had coaching experience and had wins, who is the right guy, and then there's that exact same guy who is the wrong guy. And there is a young, hot coordinator right now who is ready to make the leap into head coach and will lead this team into that kind of scenario, and then there's the young, hot coordinator who's going to be an absolute disaster. Like, there is... Those guys are out there. The same resumes, the same reason to have positivity or doubt exist in multiple candidates throughout the landscape of who they're going to look through. And there's going to be someone they speak to, someone they interview, someone who's up for this job is going to be good for it. And probably many of the guys that they will talk to and interview are going to be bad for it. Guys with success, guys with first time with no head coaching experience, like all of it. It's the matter of just finding the right guy. They're, like, again, I prefer right now, considering the track history of hiring those coordinators, I want someone with some experience. I think that that's what they need at the moment. That doesn't mean if they hire someone with none that he can't be successful. Nor does it mean if they hire someone with experience that he'll be successful. I think... Of the names given so far that are available and that have been talked about with the New York Giants, I think Mike McCarthy is the best name available so far. I don't love it. It doesn't make me overly excited or confident. It doesn't make me want to run through a wall for Mike McCarthy, but compared to some of the other names that are out there that Jay Glazer has reported, I think that's as good a name as we've heard. Now, we'll see what the coaching, what opens up with it, but I do think you kind of need someone with experience. I think Mike McCarthy brings a level of success with him everywhere he goes. Like, it ended up not being what Dallas wanted, and they fired him, and you're seeing what a bad hire is with Dallas right now, and we'll see. A lot of people think Dallas has a good chance to win this football game against the Eagles this week. We'll see. And certainly at least like them against the spread and like the number. But I think he worked with Dak very well. I think the offense was good, and they won 9-10 games at least, bare minimum, every year, and sometimes better than that. Now, I think Dak has had the reputation, even before he got there, of being a guy who folds in the biggest moments. But Mike McCarthy hasn't been able, you know, outside of the one championship, he had Aaron Rodgers for all those years, and ultimately only one championship with one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL isn't good enough with all the teams they had, losing games like, you know, off of that, the second year after that, the year after that Super Bowl, having a 15-1 team and losing to the Giants at home in the playoffs, or losing to the 49ers. You know, some of the bad playoff losses, they stand out. The Green Bay Packers beaten Dallas that year. That's an unacceptable loss for the Cowboys. They were the better team that year. So does he guarantee you the ultimate success? No, but I do think he provides a floor. And right now, they kind of need that. You know, Ray mentioned Thibodeau. They need that kind of coach to come in, stabilize things, and build them to at least a certain level. And then if you determine he's not the coach, plus he's in his 60s, you determine after 3 or 4 years that he's not the coach to take you over the hump, then you go get the next coach. It's like a first-time home versus a forever home. They need the first-time home. We just need somewhere to, you know, hang the TV, put the couch, have a kitchen, dining room, just somewhere to make this thing function. And I think Mike McCarthy, of all the names that are clearly available, is the guy. But I still have the hopes and dreams of Mike Tomlin. I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's unattainable. I don't think that is some sort of absolute nonsense that I'm just making up out of thin air. His name has been discussed by more people than just me. And, you know, heading into this year and the way they handled business this year, the moves they made, the trades they made, bringing Aaron Rodgers in, like, they went for it after years of kind of mediocrity and it feeling a little bit stale and the inability to do anything since Ben Roethlisberger. Like, they kind of went for it this year. And right now, after getting off to a pretty good start, at least, and while watching the Ravens without Lamar Jackson have one of the worst defenses in the NFL, it feels like that is completely swapped. It sounds like he's going to play this week, Rodgers, with a broken left wrist. We'll find out. But if they collapse after going all in, and that defense who they added, Ramsey and other players and tried to really go for it this year, if that defense isn't what it's been, and this offense folds under Aaron Rodgers, and this thing just completely fails, and they don't make the playoffs for the first time in a while, I think he would welcome the opportunity to come coach Jackson Dart. I really do. And I think the Steelers would finally be in a position where they could be willing to be talked to about compensation for him. I don't think it's crazy. I really don't. So again, I am rooting for every team that plays the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Put WFAN in your contact list. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Wait for it. Wait for it. McMonagle here with you on the Fan on this Football Friday. All right, so let's talk about it. I opened the show with it a little bit, but let's talk about Jackson Dart as we get ready for this giant game on Sunday against the Detroit Lions. And so many of you, I can't tell you how many of you, I'm shocked with how many of you don't want Jackson Dart to play. Don't want Jackson Dart to play if he's cleared, of course. Now, he has to be cleared. I'm not saying... You know, he's got to be cleared by the doctor. It feels like they're trending in that direction. But so many of you want to forego playing. It doesn't matter. Give him the extra weeks. Why risk it? Blah, blah, blah. And I talked at the beginning of the show about the AFC and what the Patriots are right now. And if you look at Drake May and how he's playing, and I talk about how important it is for Jackson Dart to continue to play these games, to go on the road against the Lions, to go on the road against the Patriots who have 9 wins, to go against these really good football teams and start to build something with your young quarterback. That's different to me than going to do it with Jameis Winston. It's different to me than doing it when you don't have your future franchise quarterback like the Jets do, or like so many teams, unfortunately, do not have. The Giants have that guy. They believe in Jackson Dart. He's given them every reason to do so. And I'm hopeful, and what we're trying to do here is become the New England Patriots and Drake May and Jackson Dart become that next year. And I want to point specifically to Drake May, because if you look at the Patriots, and so many people want to talk about how it's okay when Brian Daboll got fired. See, they would point to the Patriots. Oh, look, you could fire a head coach, hire another head coach, and still have the quarterback play. Look at Drake May. Okay, I mean, I think that's a different situation. I mean, if you want to go get one of the best program builders and coaches of the last 10 years in Vrabel, and then bring in one of the great offensive coordinators of all time and multiple Super Bowl champion, sure, as opposed to Mayo, who was a defensive coach and wasn't very good at all ever when Brian Daboll is an offensive guy and was helping with Jackson Dart and won a road playoff game, but fine. I don't think it's a great example, but everybody loved to point to it. Everybody loved to point to the Patriots as an example of why Brian Daboll could be fired and how Jackson Dart could continue to grow. Well, how about this for an example with Drake May? Nobody remembers this because nobody cares, because it wasn't the Giants. But Drake May didn't start. He played a little bit in week 3 against the Jets. But Drake May didn't start until week 6 in the NFL last year's season, right? And they only had 1 win at that point. They were 1-4 heading into week 6. That's when he started. He played 2 games. He was showing promise. You could see right away that he was skilled. And he was running the ball a little bit. And then week 8, you'll never guess what happened to him against the Jets last year in week 8. Jackson Dart sustained, Drake May sustained a concussion and left the game after only 6 pass attempts against the Jets. Had a concussion. Drake May had a concussion week 8 against the New York Jets. 6 pass attempts, 3 runs. And was hurt on a run. Now, scramble, design runs, I'm not positive looking at the numbers, but 3 completions, 3 rushing attempts. Concussion. Guess what happened? Did the Patriots say, that's it, he's our young quarterback, he's had a concussion, we got to put him on ice, we can't mess with this, we got to give him a whole bunch of weeks off, he can't play, it's too dangerous? No. He played the next week against Tennessee. The next week. And they lost in overtime. He completed 29 of 41 passes for a completion percentage of 70%. He threw for 206 yards. And get this. He had 8 rushing attempts, the most he's had and the most he had all season long, and rushed for 95 yards, the most rushing yards he had all season long. He went on to play the rest of the year, losing game after game after game after game. He beat the Chicago Bears in week 10, lost 6 straight games before beating Buffalo the last game of the year. And look at him now. How important do you think those games were for Drake May? How important was it for Drake May to get out there and go to Buffalo and play Buffalo and take on the Rams and go to Miami and play Arizona and play the Chargers and lose 40-7? How important were those games for Drake May? He had a concussion in week 8, had to exit the game, came back the next week, had the most rushing yards of the season, the most rushing attempts of the season. Now, I don't know how many of those were designed runs, how many were scrambles, but ran for the most yards, most rushing attempts. Had a 70% passing completion rate and lost in overtime in Tennessee. Played out the stretch of the season, and now look at him. He's in the MVP conversation. They have 9 wins, and they look like they're about to dethrone the Buffalo Bills from their guaranteed division championship year after year. These games are important. Jackson Dart needs to play. I don't remember anybody here clamoring that Drake May can't play after a concussion. Nobody said you can't put him out there. It's dangerous. It's unsafe. Why risk it? The season's over. The season was dead for New England. And I'll tell you this much. The ownership knew that that wasn't the coach either. They knew a coaching change was coming. They knew the season was dead. Their young quarterback, who they just drafted 3rd overall in the NFL draft, had a concussion. And the thought wasn't, that's it. He's done. He can't play. It was, are you healthy? Get back out there, because the next 7, the next 8 weeks are going to be important. And they were. And it was a lot of losing. And it was a lot of frustrating games. And it was a lot of disappointment. But he won his last game against Buffalo. They finished 3-10 on the season. He only took one snap in that Buffalo game. So 2 of the 3 wins he hardly played. I mean, that's amazing too. Actually, all 3 wins he hardly played. He didn't play the first game of the year they won. He got knocked out in the win against the Jets with the concussion, and he hardly played against Buffalo. The only win he had was against the Bears. So he played down the stretch of the season. He came back from a concussion. He finished his rookie season on a dead year with a new coach pretty much coming. Almost the exact same scenario. Dead season, down the stretch of a year, new coach coming next year, not a lot of weapons, and yet he was out there after a concussion and for the rest of the year, and they built something with him. He built confidence. He went out there and played tough games against tougher opponents. He learned. And this year, he's playing like an MVP, and they are 9-2, and they are leading their division, and they are the 1 seed currently in the AFC. That's the hope. That's the belief. That's what you're trying to get. That's why these games are important. That's why Jackson Dart needs to play. I don't remember any hand-wringing or screaming or complaining about Drake May coming back the week after a concussion. And he had more rushing yards than he did at any other time in the entire season. That next week against Tennessee, he ran for 95 yards. And he was, if you remember last year, he ran the ball. That was part of what made him exciting. He had that athleticism. Jackson Dart has to play. This is important. And you could look to Drake May and the New England Patriots, and that's the hope. They are the exact hope. They are what the Giants are hoping to be. Young franchise quarterback going into year two, new coach, more talent, another top pick, and changing your destiny within a year. And it didn't just start when they hired Vrabel, and it didn't just start week one of this year. It started week six of last year. It continued week nine when he returned from a concussion. It continued week 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 16, 17. He played all of those games down the stretch of a dead season, and that's where this 9-2 season began. And hopefully we're talking about a winning football team next year, and the conversation will start with Jackson Dart week four against the Chargers. And it will continue, hopefully, when healthy, Jackson Dart returning from injury and playing games down the stretch. I don't put much stock in playing out a dead season and acquiring wins and building a winning culture when you don't have the young quarterback. I really don't. But when you do, it is a different story. You want to instill confidence. You want to instill just repetition. You want him to see as many different defenses as possible. You want him to learn. You want him to grow. He can't do that sitting on the bench. And he hasn't played enough and hasn't shown me enough where I can just, you know, coast the rest of the year and say, let's just pick it up next year. These games are important. And look no further than the best team in the AFC and a young quarterback who took the leap from promising young kid to MVP caliber quarterback in 1 year. Look no further. The exact same scenario. Let's turn these Giants into the Patriots. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
How you been, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You know, I think, as a Giant fan, I love the future. The future is bright. And I think you're right. People want to put this little doll in a box and may only take him out when he wants to play. The reality is he's an athlete. He got there for a reason. Get him out there and play. I like the comparisons to May. What's interesting is we try to trade up for May. So we saw the value, at least Abel and the team saw the value in that kid because he is definitely going to shine. I mean, who would ever think that Patriots are in first place now? I mean, it's crazy. But it's all about the quarterback and the coach, I think. That's why we have to make the right decision moving forward. I don't want to retread. I want somebody that we could grow with the group that could be here for a bunch of years. But I don't see that person right now, Chris. I don't know who that could be. I don't want a college coach. No. Who are we going to go with? Who is it?
I mean, everyone wants to give you hours. I think it's someone with experience, to be honest with you. I do.
Yeah, and you don't think it's you don't think we would go with a retread. You think it's somebody that's like, you know, I mean, I don't like the guy from Dallas. I'm just trying to figure out who would the right guy.
Again, my guy is Mike Tomlin. I'm going to say that until it's not feasible. If I got to come up with someone who's going to be readily available, first, I haven't heard his name mentioned around it too much. If I were going to go coordinator, and he's had coaching experience, I kind of like the name Cliff Kingsbury. I think he, you know, was able to recognize the game of Murray. He came in, they had a young quarterback already there, decided to jettison him. They recognized that he couldn't play. They draft Murray, they build an offense around him, and they win some football games. It wasn't overly successful, but they won some football games. I think he did wonders with Daniels. I think he's a good coach. I think Cliff Kingsbury is a name I could get behind. If I'm going coordinator, I want offense. There's no doubt about it. That's how I feel. I would much rather take an offensive coordinator. A lot of the names you're hearing with coordinators are all defensive coordinators. Jordan Renan put out a story that you're destined to hear that Spagnuolo is going to interview for the job. I think that would be a mistake. Pierce is going to interview for the job. I don't feel overly good about Antonio Pierce. Love him. Defensive coordinator, even though he hasn't really even done that. I mean, he went from linebackers coach to head coach. It's like, I don't even know what makes him necessarily someone I feel all that confident about being a defensive coordinator. But he's going to interview for the job. You're hearing, you know, maybe Matt Nagy is another name you're hearing as an offensive coordinator. Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith doesn't intrigue me at all. I'm not interested in Arthur Smith. I do not think he was a very good head coach. Matt Nagy, I could kind of get behind. I think he won more than people think. I think it's one of those, it's a Mandela effect. I think you just assume Matt Nagy was like a terrible head coach and the Bears got awful. And with Mitch Trubisky, they actually weren't. I don't know how I feel about Minter, the defensive coordinator for the Chargers. Or, you know, it sounds like he's getting a lot of pub. Anarumo with the Colts, who's been with the Giants before, is getting a lot of pub. Obviously, Brian Flores. I can't imagine him getting the job after suing the NFL and suing the New York Giants. But to me, I want the proven head coach. Of all the names out there so far, I do think Mike McCarthy is the best name. If I had to pick of the candidates that have been really discussed in a major way who are available, who are clearly either a coordinator who would be due for a promotion, you know, you can't block them from taking a head coaching job, or a free, or someone who's not have a job right now. I know John Gruden. I read a report that there are people inside the Giants and people circling the Giants that know that there is a discussion about Gruden on some level. Like, Gruden doesn't intrigue me that much. Lane Kiffin doesn't excite me all that much. I think of the names that are available today that have been discussed and connected to the Giants, I think Mike McCarthy's the best name. But even that doesn't excite me all that much. I'm with you. Chesky in Queens, what's up?
Yes, hi. Hi. 2 points. I know I heard you say that you didn't think that the concussion warranted him getting fired. Well, obviously, first of all, on its own, nothing would have happened. The question is whether it's worth anything on top of the four disasters. But even if you're going to tell me that it's not worth anything at all, even if the Giants would not have done it, I think the four disasters this year of blowing games, which had a 90-95% chance of winning in the fourth quarter, that itself is enough of a reason to get fired in season, not to wait to the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know what it does for you firing him in season, but okay.
No, and I'm saying, isn't that like, that's off the charts? Meaning, I'm not saying that the other coaches, I talked about the earlier Giant coaches who were disasters. I'm not saying he might not be better than some of those coaches.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't have the stats in front of me. But my impression, I remember hearing on the fourth one, I think it was Carl Banks saying he thinks this is the first time in NFL history that something like this happened. I mean, that's off the charts.
To lose four games, that's an immediate firing deserved. I mean, I those things can't happen. I agree with you. I don't think, like, the idea of he needs to be punished for this and needs to be jettisoned.
Well, I don't think punished.
Well, I don't think it helps.
Well, punished meaning it keeps happening. That's an indictment. Meaning that you.
Yeah, but what?
I don't, again.
And then the game looked exactly the same this week. The exact same thing. Played the game close. Played the game tough. Had a lead in the fourth quarter. Defense couldn't hold. They made just the right mistakes to lose.
Well, I mean, no one knows what's going to do for them. I hear what you're saying, but I'm saying, you said yourself, it does rest with the head coach. The fact that a similar thing happens afterwards, you don't know what's going to happen afterwards. All you know is that it's definitely happening with him. So
show me the instance where it really made a major positive impact on the team. Firing the head coach midseason. That's my only point. I'm not saying you don't deserve to be fired off of that. All I'm saying is I don't know how it benefits the team all that much. And I didn't scream and cry and say, you can't fire him now. They fired him. That's fine. But I don't think it impacts the team in a major positive way.
This is the thing I think that might be debatable. I'm assuming that you think that the concussion issue should be worth 0 points. Because I understand that you yourself said really he was fired because of the other reason, that just made him fire him now as opposed to waiting to the end of the year, which I think that you're correct as far as what the Giants did. But I could see that even if you think that it's not enough reason to be fired, you don't even think it's worth even the difference between waiting to the end of the year and doing it now. You think it's worth 0?
Do I think him getting the concussion is worth firing him? Is that what the question is?
No. I'm asking that even if 99% of the reason he's getting fired is because of blowing those four games,
I don't think the concussion. Like, I mean, we see quite again. Drake May had a concussion. I just told you, Justin Fields had a concussion.
But the difference is, if this is only concussions, then and not the other reason, then there'd be no reason to fire him altogether. But the question is, that's what differentiates this between any of the other examples.
I think it had a lot to do with him being fired in the moment, and I don't think it should have. I don't think what he did was egregious. I think the narrative that he was doing anything to save his job is ridiculous. He was doing things to win football games. That's what every coach does. That's what every coach does. The best way to win football games for the New York Giants was to run Jackson Dart. Every coach would do it in every scenario. Plain and simple. You're out there trying to win football games. That was their best chance of winning football games. He either had four or five design runs, right? I thought the reports immediately after the game, it was four. I'd have to go back and watch the whole game. Schefter said five in his report early Sunday morning last week. Four, five, whatever. I know that means either half or two-fifths of those design runs were touchdowns. Touchdowns. I know one was a naked boot that he ran for a first down and slid untouched. And even the one he got a concussion on was a major successful play, and they were about to go in and win the football game. They were about to go in, put up another touchdown, and cement that football game before the fumble and concussion. I don't think what Brian Daboll did was egregious. I don't think what Brian Daboll did was reckless. And I don't think it should have been as impactful in him losing his job as it clearly was. Losing as many games in that fashion was much more egregious. The team finding ways to lose and believing they were going to lose is much more egregious. And just his overall record was much more egregious than the concussion to the quarterback. I think the conversation that, that they had on ESPN, so Mike Greenberg talking about it, he was out there trying to save his job, and it's just not fair. Anyone would do it. Rex, you would do it. Rex would do anything to win a football game at any point ever. I mean, yeah, right. He put Mark Sanchez back in to win the Snoopy Bowl. And got hurt. Like, I mean, everyone plays to win the game. Not to keep referencing Jets head coaches, but you play to win the game. I think the narrative that he was out there doing it because it was all about saving his job. It's about winning football games. That's what coaches' jobs are. That's what they're supposed to do. Whether, like, again, I'm having fun with this, but like that great Vince Lombardi quote, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Except if you have job security. Then it's okay to lose and you don't call plays to win. Like, it's nonsense. Winning is winning. You're trying to win the football game. Whether you have a bad record and you're on the hot seat or whether you're Bill Belichick who's won six Super Bowls. You go out there to coach to win. And the New York Giants, in presently constituted with no other offensive weapons, Jackson Dart running the football is a winning play. He needs to be better. He needs to take care of himself, and hopefully this taught him that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Football Sunday. So good to me. Oh, that's right. How does that not put a smile on your face? Come on. Come on. All right. You know what time it is. Time for picks. Hopefully Football Sunday will be good to me. Last week was a little bit better than the 2 weeks prior. I know that. All right, Fleeks, where are we? What kind of... I forget even what I did last week. I know we pushed on the Giants. I think I had a winning week. I'm not positive. What did we do last week?
You did. You were 3-1-1, and you caught me in the standings because I went 1-3-1, so
nice.
We are now tied.
Tied.
I needed that extra half point in the Giants game.
Tied. Let's go. All right, we're both tied at what? 1 under 500? 2 under 500?
We wish. 25-29-1.
Was it that bad? Jeez. 25-29-1. All right. All right, we got a couple minutes here before the top. We'll do the Take a Chance parlay after the update, most likely. All right, what do we got, Fleeks? Where are we going in, what is it, week number 12 in the NFL?
Game number one is a pure spite pick for me. Lost with the Chiefs last week. I think you did, too.
Yep, that was my one loss.
The offense in the second half after, like, incorporating Worthy and Rice and all these guys in the first half, I know they didn't have Pacheco in the second half. I know the Broncos' defense is good. The Chiefs' plan didn't seem to make that much sense to me. Too many deep shots, and the Colts, we've been picking against them all year.
Yep.
It's bit us in the behind pretty much every time. So you know what? I'm just going to go with the Colts this week. Daniel Jones, they'll probably go into Kansas City and lose, but whatever. We've been betting against them all year. I'm going to take them here. Game number two, you referenced this game earlier. There's one game in the league that everybody seems to be so convinced that this team is going to play well, and that's the Cowboys this week against the Eagles.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Yeah.
Another thing about this Eagles team, too, every time the world gets on them and there's this drama, there's this dysfunction, unlike our teams, when there's all this stuff out there about the Eagles, they usually come out and respond. And they have won the last few weeks. They haven't been at their most impressive, but this defense is playing really well. And I think they can do enough to contain Dak and that Cowboys offense that does play great at Jerry World, but I think they can do just enough, and I think you're going to see a good effort from the Eagles offense in this game that they get going a little bit. I don't think it's going to be a blowout necessarily, but I think they can win this game by 7 to 10 points and only laying 3.5. I'll take my chances with them there. It's just a much better team that finds ways to win these games. And game number three, I know you're rooting against this team now for the rest of the year.
Yes.
I don't care who plays quarterback on Sunday.
Yeah.
I like the Steelers in Chicago. Obviously, I'll feel better if it's Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But the Lions are 2.5 now. The Bears, I picked against them the last few weeks, and they keep finding ways to win, but not really because they're doing anything well. Because their opponent is making mistakes, or their opponent has a horrendous, inexperienced quarterback. And Mason Rudolph is not very good, but he's been around the block before. And the team that doesn't make all those mistakes to lose those games is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think you're going to get that from a Mike Tomlin coach team. At some point, the Bears, or I said this exact line last week, and it cost me. I said they're due to get tripped up and lose one of these games, but I'm going right back to the well and picking against the Bears. So give me the Steelers plus the 2.5. And then locally, the line was everything to me here. If this was 14.5, which it was earlier in the week, I would have taken the Jets because I don't like laying more than 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But at 2 touchdowns, if the Ravens win by 14, I can cover this game at 13.5. So give me the Ravens laying the 13.5. And then with the Giants, one, if Dard plays, obviously you feel better about the offense. They can play well in that game. Detroit hasn't been the same team offensively, and I don't know why. Again, this could just be pure stupidity. I think you're going to get a spirited effort from the Giants defense this week. And if you pressure Jared Goff, he can make mistakes. I mean, that's mostly true of any quarterback, but we've seen it the last few weeks. Last week against the Eagles, I mean, he doesn't just become a middling quarterback. He turns into a pile of garbage back there.
Yeah.
And the Giants are capable, when they're at their best, of pressuring the opposing team's quarterback. This is another one where, you know, if it's 9.5, if it's under 10, I'm probably taking the Lions since we have to pick this game. But over 10 to 10.5, give me the Giants.
All right. I'm with you on I'm against you on a couple games here. Maybe both locals. We'll get to that in a second. Is Kansas City going to be under 500? Like, is Kansas, I know they have to win by 3.5, and that's, but are they going to go under 500 here against a Colts team and Daniel Jones? Like, And I know we've been talking about how I don't want Spags to be the head coach of the New York Giants. This is a game where Spags is going to make sure that he shuts down the run game of this Colts team and doesn't allow Taylor to go absolutely nuts. This is just, to me, at home. I wish it were three. I know I'm 3.5. But there's just something inside me that says Kansas City, off of that brutal loss, the idea of going 5-6, they're going to win this football game. And if they're going to win it, I have a feeling they're going to win it big. And Indy, again, Daniel Jones has put the ball on the ground as of late. And if you can shut down this running attack, and I think Spags can scheme up a way to really make life difficult for them. If you put this game in Indiana Jones's hand, his new nickname, no more Vanilla Vic, now he's Indiana Jones. I just think Kansas City is going to, I just can't imagine Kansas City going 5-6. I just can't imagine. Give me Kansas City -3.5. A smash spot here for me is Seattle. I talked about this before. I think Sam Darnold is proving that he can be an elite quarterback in the NFL on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis. This is the spot. This team has been incredible on the road. They're coming off a very frustrating loss where they played outside of the quarterback. They played extremely well. They were 4 turnovers from Sam Darnold and yet still kicking a 64-yard field goal to win the game against a Rams team that's been dominant offensively and right now has what is probably the odds-on favorite to be the MVP in Stafford. And Tennessee stinks. We know it. I think you got an angry Seattle team looking to prove something. You got a quarterback who plays well against lousy teams and a defense that's even one of the best in the NFL and better on the road against the lousy team in Tennessee. You couldn't make this number high enough for me. Give me Seattle -13.5 at Tennessee. And then I'm going back to well with a team that hasn't done me very much this year outside of when they played the Giants. But this is an anti-pick on the Atlanta Falcons. I think Cousins is washed. You got no Drake London, who I think is a huge part of their offense. And it's only -1.5 at home for New Orleans. This Atlanta team is just so hard to figure out. They are terribly coached. And this Saints team, they can run the football a little bit. I think they're better. The quarterback position stinks. I get it. But I think overall, they're not that far off talent-wise than Atlanta. And without London and Cousins in there, give me the Saints -1.5 at home. And then locally, I know what you're talking. 13.5 is still a lot of points. And I know the Ravens have won a handful of games here in a row and are surging to win this division. But you've got Lamar Jackson, who, again, I don't know what level the ankle, but he's got an ankle that cost him practice until Thursday. He's got a knee injury. Like, I could just see the Jets have kept these games close. I could see Baltimore not putting their foot on the gas. You can have a passing attack against this Ravens defense. It's gotten healthier and better than it was when it was, disastrous, a handful of weeks ago. But I do think Tyrod Taylor, he might turn the ball over, but I do think they'll throw the football a little bit. I actually like the wide receiving crew. From this Jets team, they're looking to prove something. And I could just see a late backdoor cover with 13.5. It's a lot of points. I'll be rooting for a close game. Give me the Jets +13.5. And I'm sorry, but this is a Lions smash spot for me. It just is. You just mentioned it. Like, everything circling around this team right now, all the controversy, all the leaks, all the nonsense. Jackson Dart still might not play. We don't even know. And the Giants aren't a team that respond to that. They've got an interim head coach. And I just don't think this is a team that responds to it. The Lions coming off a disappointing loss. And the last 8 times that the Lions have been home as a favorite by more than 3 points off a loss, they are 8-0 against the spread. Like, this is just this. I've been talking about it all year, and they have been disappointing. And the offense last week did look kind of lost. And Dan Campbell, who's going to be doing the play calling the rest of the year, that offensive game plan looked like disjointed to me. Totally agree. If they don't run the ball extremely heavy against this lousy Giants rushing attack, I'll be flabbergasted. I would expect big days from Gibbs. I would expect a huge, huge rushing. You talk about rushing the passer. I agree. I think they can be able to do this running the football. I hope they keep it close. The Giants have kept this game close. But ultimately, I just think the Lions are looking. This is what they do. They're a bad team at home off a loss. Smash spot. So give me the Lions.
Mustard's last stand.
I'm still going against the Giants here. Give me the Lions -10.5 at home against the Giants.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.